be replaced there. One of our youngsters down front. That's a good thing. I'm glad they're interested in wanting to be down there. As it's one of the things that, as a church, we should be striving to do is to be developing our young people and encouraging them to walk in the Lord's way, and we need all the good gospel preachers that we can get. But tonight and next week, as far as I know, it may wind up going longer depending on some other circumstances. But for the next couple of weeks, I want to spend some time thinking about some ideas that I came across while reading a book by Brother Kevin Rhodes. And the name of the book is called Follow Me. And so we're going to be talking about this very subject of becoming a true disciple of Jesus. You know, it's not something that I don't know that I was trying to think, and I don't remember the last time when I actually sat down in a Bible class where we were talking about being a disciple. Now, obviously, everything that we do as a church, anytime we sit down together and study the Word, anytime the Word is being preached, we really are practicing discipleship. But I just want us to sort of think about this for the next couple of weeks. And, you know, because I'll just kind of start with a story, and I think it will kind of help to see where we're going with things. Once upon a time, there was a young man. He obeyed the gospel, and he repented, he confessed, he was baptized for the remission of his sins, did everything that the Bible teaches us that we are to do in order to be saved. And his words were, he said, "All I want to do is follow Jesus." So that's all I want to do. When Sunday rolled around, didn't matter what was going on, he went to worship without fail. On Wednesday night, he was there for Bible class. Every time there was something going on with the church, he was there. Well, he decided that he wanted to learn more about the Bible. So he went to school to learn how to study, to learn how to preach. And in doing those things, he did very well. He was very good at it. He graduated, and he went forth and proclaimed the gospel boldly wherever he went. But somewhere, something went wrong. He realized that he had adopted the faith of other people around him, that he had adopted the faith of his parents. He had adopted the faith of his teachers. He had adopted the faith of his Christian friends. Now, those are all good things, and they're all important to have around us, but obviously, you know, he had not bothered to develop his own faith. And so, as a result, he begins to doubt. He doubts himself. He doubts the Bible. He even doubts God. To help with this situation, he did a lot of reading, and he listened to all the internet sermons that he could find. But the sermons and the reading that he did seemingly just reinforced his doubts. As his soul started to drift, internally, his behavior started to change externally. What had once been boldness for truth became nothing more than kind of a hazy shade of moral and doctrinal indifference. His speech turned coarse and vulgar, and he would vent at anyone who questioned his newfound unfaith, if you want to call it that. His companions, his friends, his acquaintances, they changed to fit his new life. And, as you might expect, he wandered away. Maybe you've known somebody like this. Maybe you've even been there yourself. You know, if we stop and think about it, it really should be easy for us to appreciate the problems that he experienced. All of those things that he experienced, they were real things. They are real things. They're all things that Satan will use against us. And every one of us, at some point in time in our lives as Christians, we're going to be confronted with similar problems that challenge our faith. So how do we deal with these things? If it's real, and if it's something that everyone is going to experience, doesn't matter whether you're what age you are, whether you're young or old, these are things that we can fall prey to. And I would submit to you that over the next couple or 3 weeks, what we're going to see is that the answer to that, how do we deal with those things, how do we deal with those challenges, is that we turn to Jesus and Jesus alone. Now, following Jesus means becoming a true disciple. You know, in a lot of ways, the word disciple has become sort of a generic term to the point where it has lost all meaning. You know, you'll hear, you know, I've heard the word used in talking about maybe it's a football game on Sunday afternoon, listening to, watching on TV, and they'll say, this head coach, well, he's a Bill Walsh disciple. You know, meaning that he likes to run that type of offensive system when it comes to his football team. You know, and it's really become very generic. And so tonight, I want us to look for the next few minutes about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You know, sometimes we forget that the words disciple and the word discipline have the same root. They come from the same root word. Now, I don't know about you, but the word disciple, that doesn't really, sort of neutral in my feelings about the word disciple. But, you know, we're sort of conditioned in our society today to where discipline seems to have sort of some negative connotations associated with it. You know, it's hard for our school teachers to have classroom discipline because there's so many rules and everything that they have to follow. You know, discipline is not something that is highly regarded in our society. In fact, I would submit that our society, in a lot of ways, worships just completely the opposite of discipline. And so for us to be disciples of Jesus, for us to have that discipline that's associated with that, Guys, we are running counter to what the world around us would have us to be. To be a disciple essentially means to learn and accept discipline from a teacher or master. So to be a disciple of Jesus will require us to learn and accept discipline from Him and Him only. The Apostle Paul writes here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Being a disciple of Jesus means that we are going to be a true student of how He lived, what He taught, and why He taught it. It means that we are, in essence, we are living in the realm of Jesus. We are trying to be like Jesus. You know, a few years ago, you know, it was real popular. I'm old enough to remember this, and a lot of our kids wouldn't know anything about it, but for a while there was the saying, "Be like Mike." You know, is be like Michael Jordan, you know, the basketball player. Well, as Christians, what is it we're trying to do? We're trying to be like Jesus. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And being a disciple of Jesus means that we are going to grow in our understanding, in our practice, and our appreciation of His point of view. Okay, notice I said our understanding. So we need to better understand what it is Jesus wants us to be. How do we accomplish that? By spending time in His Word. You know, in practice, how do we practice it? We look for opportunities to serve people. We look for opportunities to teach other people. And appreciate His point of view. And then finally, we should be thankful for the opportunity to be a disciple of Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus means, first of all, that we have to accept that we have much to learn. Have you ever tried to show somebody how to do something? They've probably never ever done it before. And when you try to show them and say, "I got it, I know how to do this, just leave me alone." Any of y'all like that? I can be that way from time to time. Don't want to, too proud to admit that you don't know something, so you just go straight ahead, only to find out that it didn't turn out quite the way it was supposed to. You know, but being a disciple of Jesus is, first of all, means that we have to accept that we have a lot to learn. You know, we are not, guys, we are not equipped with the ability to immediately know God's will. None of us are receiving revelations, personal revelations from God. If we're going to know who Jesus is, what he taught, what He stood for, all of those things about Him, how are we going to know those things? We have to be taught, don't we? How is it that we become Christians? How do we learn what it is we need to do in order to be saved? Doesn't somebody have to teach us? Yes, they do. And so we're not equipped with the ability to immediately know what God's will is without receiving instruction, and we also must be prepared to reevaluate what we have learned previously from men. Now, let's face it, I'm not perfect. And I hope that whatever we talk about in this class tonight, that you'll take what is said into consideration, and you will go home and you will study it out for yourself to make sure that what is being taught matches up with what God's Word teaches. That's what made the Bereans so noble. And that's what we're called to do. That's what a disciple does. You know, admitting that we don't know it all requires humility. Requires us to admit that we don't know it all. And we have to have that humility in order to approach the Scriptures, to learn the teachings of Jesus, and to fulfill all that He says we are to do. Being a disciple means that we are committed to a lifetime of learning. It is something that from the time you put Him on, you put Christ on in baptism, till you breathe your last breath, it is a continuing process. If we ever get to the point to where we think, I got this, I got it mastered, look out. Something bad's going to happen. It is an ongoing process. It is continuous improvement. It may be one step forward, two steps back some days. And then other days, it may be great. But nevertheless, it is a lifetime effort. You know, there's always more that Jesus can teach us. Surely everybody has had the experience of reading through a Bible passage and thinking, you know, I never noticed that in that passage before. And that is one of the awesome things about God's Word, is that you can read through it cover to cover 1,000 times over, and you still will not get it all. When we commit to that lifetime of learning, you know, it requires a certain mindset, certain kind of mindset. It requires somebody who wants to learn the truth, the Bereans, as we already mentioned, would be a good example of that, who wants to apply the truth personally. I read it, I understand it, and I'm applying it to me. Now, I think most of us are really good at reading the Scripture that gives us direction about how our lives are to be lived, how the choices that we make. We're really good at reading that and saying, well, old brother so-and-so, he needs to hear that verse. We're really good at that. The problem is we need to be applying it to number one, first and foremost. And so we have to be able to apply that truth personally. You know, in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, your word have I hid in my heart. Can you finish it? There you go. That I might not sin against you. We're taking God's word into our hearts, into our lives, and we're applying it. Why? So that so that we can make our best effort at living the kind of life that a disciple of Jesus is supposed to live. And then it also requires that we use the truth as the foundation and the guide for every aspect of our lives. If you want to stay in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As a disciple of Jesus, that is our guide. That is our light. It is the truth. It is the word of God. It is the guide for our lives in every decision and choice that we make in life. Being a disciple means that we are going to accept the absolute authority of the teacher. When I was in college, I had a biology minor. I was a chemistry major and a biology minor. And as a biology minor, you're required to have, I don't know, it was like 20 hours of biology classes, and there were some core classes that were required for that. One of the classes that I was required to take was a general zoology class. When you take any biology class on the college level, one of the foundations for that class, as far as they're concerned, is the theory of evolution. Now, I did not believe it. I still don't believe it. I had to be able to give the professor the answer he was looking for on the test if I wanted to get a good grade in the class. But just because that's what I said on the test doesn't mean that that's what I believed. Fortunately, that professor did not have absolute authority over me, and he could not see my heart and know what I was thinking. Now, maybe I should have went to him personally and let him know what I was thinking. I don't know. I think they made a movie about that at some point. But with Jesus, he does have absolute authority. He sees our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. And so as disciples, we have to accept his absolute authority. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, famous verse. The Apostle Paul writes here, he says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Yes, sir.
The same Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven."
Okay. I don't know if everybody heard that or not. Bill was quoting Matthew 7:21, where Jesus said that everyone who does his will are the ones that will be acceptable in his eyes. Yes.
The other thing I was thinking of along this line, and one of my old favorite scriptures, 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Now, he did not limit that.
No.
Study all of your life.
Study to show yourself approved. Yep. That's right. He didn't say study until you turn 21, or study till you turn 51. He just said study. Well, this passage in Colossians chapter 3, this "and whatever you do in word or deed," that this is not a blank check to do everything we want in the name of Jesus. There are those who would interpret that verse and say, well, whatever I do, I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. And, you know, I have seen, you probably have too, after the Super Bowl, the MVP, of the game, he says, well, I just thank Jesus. I did everything I did out here tonight, I did for Jesus. Well, I'm not sure that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Because what Paul is talking about here is he's talking about the covenant that was signed by Jesus that governs our conduct as disciples. He's talking about how do we act as disciples. It's not about how many touchdown passes did we catch or how many did we throw. It's about how are we living our lives. None of us can claim, none of us has the right to claim discipleship while at the same time rejecting the authority of our Lord. If we're not willing to follow everything that He teaches, then we're not really disciples. And that's a pretty cut and dried thing. Now, we have to learn what Christ learned. I don't know if you ever thought about it or not, but did Jesus learn anything? Yeah, He did. And think, well, this is the Son of God. What did He have to learn? Well, here in Hebrews chapter 5, it says He learned something. Look at what it says here. It says, although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. So Jesus learned obedience. Now, if Jesus had to learn obedience, the Son of God had to learn obedience, what does that say about us? Where does that put us? It says we got a ways to go when it comes to obedience ourselves, doesn't it? And so He learned to obey God's will regardless of what it cost Him personally and what He had to endure. If you remember what He said in the Garden of Eden, He said, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. That's our Master. That is what we are called. That is the example that we are called to model our lives after if we are truly a disciple of Jesus. We're saying that no matter what the cost, I'm sticking with Jesus. No matter what it may cost me my job, it may cost me my friends, it may cost me my life, but I choose Jesus. If there is no obedience, then there is no discipline. If there is no discipline, then there is no disciple. We can't argue with the Master. Jesus taught with authority. And it tells us in John chapter 12 that the words of Christ will be the standard by which we are judged. John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on that last day." Doesn't matter what kind of excuse we may create. Any attempt to avoid doing what Jesus says or how Jesus says to do it, in essence, is avoiding Jesus himself. Now, discipleship takes discipline, and discipline is at the heart of everything that a disciple of Christ must learn. Learning spiritual discipline is learning to be like Jesus. Now, when my son Adam was 7 or 8 years old, I was his baseball coach. And he would do everything that I told him to do and never question a thing. All it was about to him was making sure that he did it right and he did it exactly the way I was coaching him to do it. Fast forward a few years to high school. He's still playing baseball. And one night he didn't have the best game in the world, you know. And after the game, I said, "Son, you're stepping in the bucket. You've got to stay in there on that inside pitch because they're going to keep throwing that thing in there. You're going to have to be ready for it." "Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. Coach told me I was doing the right thing." Well, a person's life is not necessarily defined by the name he wears, but rather by the one whose discipline he accepts. If we are truly disciples of Jesus, then we will accept his disciplining hand. Without question. A disciple begins with the understanding that we don't know a lot about what it is we're supposed to do. The $2 word for that is ignorant. We start as Christians, when we put on Christ, we start ignorant. And there is a great deal of change that's going to be required, and it is the Master's job to show us what to change and how to do it. Stop and think about it. One of the things that's required to obey the gospel is repentance. What is repentance? It's change, all right? Is it not admitting that the way we've been trying to live our life isn't going to work? That we don't know what we need to do, but what we do know, when we put Christ on in baptism, is we're saying, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I don't know how I'm supposed to do it, but Jesus is going to show me." And there's a lot of study involved, a lot of prayer. It's recognizing that we need to do that, isn't it? It really is. We have to recognize that. And so, repentance really, guys, is accepting everything that Jesus wants you to change about your life. Yeah, Van. It very much is. It is. If you couldn't hear what Van said, he said it is turning, it is changing, going in a different direction. And that's really what repentance is. And see, disciples must attach themselves completely to Jesus, not just for the moment of salvation, but also for the life of salvation. Okay, you guys are going to get tested right here. I want to see how many of you have been paying attention in family Bible time. There is a scripture that our kids sing that says exactly that. Says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what is it? All right. Not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Where is that? Galatians 2:20. You all need to be paying closer attention to family Bible time. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. Jesus says this. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Guys, we should expect, as disciples of Jesus, we should expect much of ourselves because of who our Lord is. You know, when we become a disciple of Jesus, we don't just have a new status. It's not something that you just put on your Facebook page that says, you know, well, in a relationship or not in a relationship or whatever it is. But it's not about, we don't just have a new status, but we have a whole new way of life. It's not a status, it's how we're living. Any idea or behavior that you cannot find in Christ or His Word should be rejected. The Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking to the Ephesian church about the new life in Christ. And he's talking to them about those who have become callous, that those who have given themselves up to sensuality, to greed, to every kind of impurity. And then he says emphatically to the Ephesians, he says, that is not the way you learned Christ. These are important things that we're talking about, and I did not come anywhere close to getting done with everything that I wanted to say tonight. I'm feeling your pain now, John. But we're about out of time here, and I really want to say one more thing. Jesus, in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, he says these famous words. He says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A disciple of Jesus will identify himself all that he believes and does for all time with Jesus, with what Jesus did and with what Jesus said we are to do. Now, like I say, I've got a few more thoughts that I wanted to get to tonight. I'm going to hold off on those, and we'll pick up with those next week. Anybody have any comments regarding... Yeah, Dennis?
I guess I've got 15 seconds. You're speaking from beginning to end, and we appreciate it. You did a good job. The process of becoming a disciple is submitting ourselves to the will of God. To do that, we must grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord. The grace and the knowledge are equal to each other. We can't grow with grace unless we have knowledge, and vice versa. That's 2 Peter 3:8.
Amen. If you couldn't hear, Dennis was saying that being a disciple of Jesus is about growing in grace and knowledge, and that those are equal. They're equally important. And to that I would say 100% amen. I'd like for us to close our class with a word of prayer. If you would please bow with me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for being who you are, for being the God who loved us enough to give your Son to wash away our sins. Father, we thank you that you have given us Jesus as the great example and the pattern upon which we are to live our lives. Father, we pray that each one of us will consider the things that have been talked about tonight and will study them out and will make application to our lives individually so that we can be better disciples of Jesus. Father, help us to not try to avoid discipline from you, but help us to be ready and willing to accept it when necessary, because we know that by doing so, that we will be better people because of it, and we will be better servants in your kingdom. Father, be with us now as we leave this place. May everybody that we come in contact with be able to easily identify us as a disciple of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.